everyone. Welcome. You're listening to The Scoreboard here on WSIC. 844 Studio 4 is the phone number if you want to call in, be a part of the show, talk about anything that we got going on today. Ooh, it's an interesting day in the world of sports here on a Monday. A lot of things that took place over the weekend. Man, do we even have time to get into all of it? Honestly, I'm not sure. Today might be one of those days where we just get as much as we can in. We had NHL playoffs. The Carolina Hurricanes take game one of their series against the New York Islanders. Game two will be later on tonight. We also had the NBA playoffs kick off this weekend. Yes, the play-in games were over. We don't have to talk about that anymore. We have actual basketball going on now. Also, the NASCAR Cup Series had their race at the Talladega Super Speedway, one of everybody's favorite venues to visit. Well, maybe at least for now. Also, the Xfinity and the ARCA Series raced there on Saturday. And boy, oh boy. Boy, oh boy, was it bad. It was just bad. We also have a streak going on in the world of golf. Scottie Scheffler, he is on fire, if you didn't know. He won his tournament there this coming Monday, actually. As yesterday, the end of the tour was canceled due to rain. So Scottie Scheffler with the win. And also, Charlotte FC. Yeah, they were playing this weekend. I don't know if you were able to catch it because of all the things that were going on. Man, I don't know how you picked and choose what you decided to watch this weekend because it was everywhere. I mean, there was plenty. There was also baseball going on. Now, I don't really know if it's baseball season just yet in terms of the sports calendar. Yeah, they're playing, but I don't know if it's quite time to talk about that just yet. But we will get into all of that a little bit later on in the show. As we always do, though, we're going to start things out with the high school sports scene and talking a little high school baseball and what's going on in that world. Lake Norman, man, they had a very big win on Friday. Hickory Ridge is who their opponent was, and they won that game handedly, 13-1. Finally snapping that six-game skid that they had. It dropped them to 500 in the standings, but they're now a game above 500 at 11-10. That win also brought them up to 6-4 overall in the conference, which isn't bad at all. Still sitting in fourth, and they beat a team who was a little bit ahead of them in those conference standings in Hickory Ridge. Mooresville had a big win over the weekend. Well, big in terms of who they beat. They're not going to the playoffs this year, unfortunately. They had a really rough season. Starting the year, I think it was 0-8 is what they started the year at, or 0-9 actually. So they had a really tough start to the year before they even slightly turned it around, getting their fifth win of the season. They beat South Iredell High School. Man, I've been telling you, South Iredell is that team. If anybody, if it's going to be anybody to make the playoffs in this general area of the five teams that we've been talking about all year, it would have been South Iredell, but that loss is really, really going to hurt them. Statesville High School, man, that baseball team has had a rough season. They still have not been able to break through in the win column. They took on North Iredell, and we're going to talk about North Iredell a little bit more as well. But Statesville High School, they have now lost their first 12 games of the season. And if you want to really talk about a bad streak that they have going on, they were even winless in the 2020 season, and their only other win that I can see, according to Max Preps, this is everything we talk about is always according to that that website, generally regarded as what you should look at. Last time Statesville baseball won a game, it was 2018. That's a long time ago. I don't know what they're going to have to do to turn things around, but man, oh man, that varsity baseball team has just not been good. 0-12 on the year. They lost to North Iredell 21-1 on Friday. This coming off of games, I mean, the losses are starting to pile up, and it's not pretty. I mean, 21-1. Before that, it was 18-5, 19-4, 16-0, 16-0, 13-3, 16. I mean, I'm not trying to continue to pile on here, but man, we got to get things on track here, Statesville. I'm gonna pull a benchwarmers move and say I'm gonna have a little piece of paper with my birth certificate. It's going to say I am 14 or 15 or whatever it needs to be. And I'm going to get on the baseball team and we're going to turn this thing around. All right, Statesville, here I come to the rescue. No, I'm joking. But come on, we got to get some wins here. At least one before the season ends. So North Iredell, the team that Statesville lost to, up to 6-9 now on their record. 5-5 in conference, which is nice to get back to 500. They're coming up. Their next upcoming game is tomorrow against East Lincoln. By the way, the other games that are coming up here in the next days or two, Lake Norman plays tomorrow against Mooresville. Statesville, they play tomorrow against Ford. North Iredell, tomorrow against East Lincoln. And West Iredell, by the way, they also lost their game on Friday, playing again tomorrow. None of these schools are going to the playoffs, unfortunately. Now 6-10 for West Iredell. And as far as South Iredell goes, that loss to Mooresville dropped them to 11-8 on the year. And it's just been a rough year for the local high school baseball teams. But I'll tell you what, with all the bad news that we have in baseball, we want to at least try to find the good teams that are playing in the area. And I'll tell you what, a lot of the schools that we talk about almost every day here are having incredible seasons in high school lacrosse. I want to start this before we head to our next commercial break. Charlotte Catholic is the number one school in the state right now in lacrosse. They are 19-0. They have not lost a game yet. Cannon High School up in Concord and Huff High School down in Cornelius, 2-3. Then you have Providence Day in Charlotte and Lake Norman in Mooresville. That's right here. All of those teams are right in this area. You got to go down to, I believe, Cary at 6 before you find someone who's really not anywhere close to you. I think that's out in Raleigh. And then Cardinal Gibbons in Raleigh is at 7. So a lot of schools in NC, in the local area looking good in the lacrosse scene. Not something that we cover every single day, but trying to bring it into the mix a little more often because, man, these lacrosse teams are going to be looking really good. These playoffs are going to be interesting. There's a lot of good teams, and, well, only one can win. So we'll talk a little bit more about high school lacrosse after this. Then we're going to get into some of the news stories from the weekend and today. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Scoreboard. We're back right after this.
Keep it right here. We'll have more of The Scoreboard with Joe Berg in just a moment. From 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Now more of The Scoreboard with Joe Berg on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC.
Everyone, welcome back. We are here on The Scoreboard, segment number two on this wonderful Monday. 844 Studio 4 is the phone number. Again, if you want to talk, if you have something you want to chat about, I'm right here for you. Maybe you have something you want to talk about with high school sports. Maybe you know somebody who had a good day or team who's been having a good season and you want to shout them out, I am more than happy to hear from you. 844-788-3464. That's the phone number. We're going to talk a little bit more about what's going on in high school lacrosse because I think it's been a very wonderful year what we have going on in the local area. Like I just said, when you look at the top five schools when it comes to the North Carolina rankings, they are all right in this general area. Charlotte, Concord, Cornelius, and Mooresville are the four cities represented in the top five. Charlotte Catholic, Cannon School, Huff High School, and Providence Day, plus Lake Norman. That is the top five. Now, some of these schools we talk about every single day, like Lake Norman, they always have a good year. Their sports program over there is wonderful. It seems like every time we're talking about high school sports, Lake Norman is in the conversation. Also, Huff High School, they have had quite a few good ones as well. And look at the lacrosse team. That just shows everything you need to know about the athletes they have over there. So going through some of these schools, just to kind of give you a rundown on how things have been going. Lake Norman's most recent game was against Mooresville. That was last week, actually on Friday. And they won 15-10. Mooresville, a team that's had a pretty good season as well. They're actually ranked pretty well at 32nd in the state of North Carolina. But for Lake Norman, they get the win in that one. Their next two games end the season for them, and they're both on the road. Lake Norman Charter and then Marvin Ridge High School are the two teams left for Lake Norman to play. They're 3-0 in their conference, the Greater Metro / Queen City Lacrosse Conference. Those teams in that conference are Lake Norman, Huff High School, Mooresville High School, South Iredell, and Hopewell. So Lake Norman with the 3-0 conference record leads that. By the way, South Iredell, 0-3 in the conference. They're also 0-13-1. In the season, so they're not really going to be much of a factor here. One of the other schools ranked well, it's actually Cannon High School, number 2 in the state, nationally ranked 22nd. How about that? 12-3 on the year. They are 6-0 in their conference, sitting at number 1, the NCISAA Division 1 lacrosse standings here. They are 6-0. Next closest school to them would be Christ School and then Providence Day School. Round that out. Christ School only 2-0 in the conference, but at an undefeated record. That puts them on the top of the list there. So they're having a good year there in Cannon School. Most recently, they played Lake Norman. That was a few days ago, actually on Thursday. Cannon was able to take down Lake Norman 8-6. Four games remain in their season, so we still got a while to go before we get to playoffs. And that's one thing I want to mention is playoffs don't start for a while with lacrosse, and Lake Norman's schedule is done pretty soon. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can keep the momentum with them or if this extended break that they're going to have is going to be a problem. Huff High School, third in the state, 60th nationally, 12-2 on the year. They played Mill Creek on Friday and got the win, 12-6. Tomorrow, actually, on Wednesday, they take on Mooresville High School. So that'll be a very interesting game as well. And by the way, another team that's doing pretty good in this area is Lake Norman Charter. They are 17th in North Carolina. And in their record, they're pretty good as well. 9-6 so far. So a few wins, a few losses. They did have a 4-game losing streak in the middle of the year, which definitely hurt. But other than that, they've been fairly good this year, and they have a couple of games left as well against Page and Lake Norman. So the athletes right now, it seems like, are with lacrosse because, man, those lacrosse teams in this area, like I said, all of them are ranked really high in the state, and they're pretty good nationally as well. So I'm going to continue to have my eye on this. We're going to cover lacrosse as we go through the playoffs and into the offseason as well. Let's talk about some of the stories now that have broken either over the weekend or today. And actually, these all that I'm going to talk about are from today. First one, let's go to the NFL. Because the NFL draft is coming up on Thursday, and anything that happens in the NFL right now is pretty important. So the Jets made a move. The New York Jets, who drafted their quarterback of the future, Zach Wilson, at number 2 overall in 2021, traded him away to the Denver Broncos on Monday. So in this deal, the Jets will receive a 6th-round pick this year. It'll be pick number 203. But they're also going to send the Broncos pick number 256, which is a 7th-round selection. The Jets and the Broncos are also splitting $5.5 million that Wilson is due this season, with each team paying $2.75 million. So there is no contingency plan in New York anymore. It's Aaron Rodgers or bust. I don't know what the plan is. You know, you see what Green Bay was able to do with Rodgers, and they had a succession plan in place. They knew when Rodgers was gone, it's going to be Jordan Love, and we'll move on from there. So the Jets bring in Aaron Rodgers, and it was supposed to be. Now, this was going to be the thought process was, you know, we're going to let Rodgers start for a little bit. Zach Wilson's going to sit behind him. He's going to learn, and when he's going to come back, he's going to be even better. It didn't work out that way. And even with Aaron Rodgers in his ear for an entire year, Zach Wilson was, how do I put this lightly? Terrible. That's about the lightest I can put it. He was not good at all. He was probably about as good as Bryce Young was this year, to be honest with you. Take that as you will. So the Jets have no succession plan now. They have no quarterback of the future. And I don't know. They might be good this year. It's still yet to be seen with Rodgers coming back from that Achilles injury. But I know in the future they're probably not going to be good without a quarterback. So we'll see what they decide to do. That was one of the things in the news today. Also, by the way, Matt Ryan, he retired today. Everybody remember Matt Ryan? Yeah, played with a Falcon. He retires as a Falcon, by the way. So after 15 seasons, 4 Pro Bowls, an MVP, and the largest blown Super Bowl lead of all time, Matt Ryan retiring from football. 16 seasons after he was drafted. And look, that's about the only way to put it. Yeah, he was great. He was really good, actually. But he blew one of the biggest leads in Super Bowl history. Because of that, he doesn't have a championship. And because of that, I'm going to be honest, I'm not sure if he is or isn't a Hall of Famer. I'm hearing arguments both ways. I'm listening to the talk. I just don't know. He had one MVP, which is big. He had those 4 Pro Bowls, which I don't really think that Pro Bowls matter all that much. But, you know, that's just me personally. Like, you know, we see some of the people that make the Pro Bowls nowadays, and you're like, okay, is he really a Pro Bowler? But we'll see. Yeah, he's got some time before he goes into the vote for the Hall of Fame. In his career, he threw for, let's see here. Oh, that's a lot of yards, isn't it? 62,792 yards, 381 touchdowns, and 183 interceptions. Whew! I don't know. That's an interesting one. Also, I hope you guys saw this one today. The MLB can be funny sometimes. It can be really funny. So the New York Yankees are playing the Oakland Athletics right now in New York. And this game started at 1 o'clock today. And Aaron Boone, the manager for the New York Yankees, has been, well, he's been a little bit of a hothead as the manager of those Yankees. And he's been known to get ejected from a game every now and then. Well, he was ejected again. Because during this game, and I'm not going to have time to get it in before we hit a commercial break, so I might just save it. But Aaron Boone, he got ejected, and it's probably the most comical ejection that I've ever seen in the MLB ever. Right, this is something that you would see in like a silent movie or something. I swear, you need to hear this story. The MLB gods are smiling upon us today because we have a wonderful ejection to talk about. And you know, the umpires, they're always going to make it about them. So this is another one where they made it about them. So stay with me. You're going to hear this story on the other side of the break. You're listening to The Scoreboard. We'll be back right after this.
Keep it right here. We'll have more of The Scoreboard with Joe Berg in just a moment from 105.9 100.7 WSIC. It's The Scoreboard with your host, sports director Joe Berg on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Everyone, welcome back. You're listening to The Scoreboard, 844 Studio 4. All right, let's get into this. I told you about this ejection. The Yankees playing the Athletics. Aaron Boone, the manager for the Yankees, he's known for getting thrown out of games. That is his whole thing. He's known for doing that. And there was a situation in today's game. Now, this game between the Yankees and the Athletics, it was earlier today. It was actually a 1 o'clock start time on that one. So, all in all, this doesn't matter, but it kind of does, I guess. I don't know. Final score of that game was 2-0 Oakland. So, Oakland getting their 9th win of the season in the turmoil of everything that's going around with their team, where they're going to play. They're going to play in, I believe, somewhere in San Francisco for the next few years until Vegas is ready, I believe. I might have to double check on that one, but I thought it was somewhere in San Francisco is going to host them until they are going to be full-time at Las Vegas. Anyway, all of this to say there was a fun situation in today's game. So the Yankees manager, Aaron Boone, went out to discuss. Well, he didn't go out to discuss anything. It was really unusual what happened. So the Athletics leadoff hitter, Eury Ruiz, was hit on an 0-2 count. Now, the pitch hit his foot. That was clear. But the Yankees dugout said that Ruiz swung at the pitch. And, you know, if you swing at the pitch in baseball and it hits you, it's not a hit by pitch. So from the dugout, Aaron Boone was yelling at the home plate umpire and telling him how he was mad. And the umpire said back to him, "You're not yelling at me. So this is what the umpire said. He said, "You're not yelling at me. I did what I was supposed to do and checked. I'm looking for him to get hit by a pitch. You got nothing else to say. You got anything else to say, you're gone." One pitch later, Aaron Boone got ejected. He said, "You're done. You're out of here." So, right when he throws Aaron Boone out of the game, Aaron Boone loses his mind and starts saying, "It was not me. I did not say a word. I did not say a word." And he's throwing a whole bunch of other things in there that I can't repeat per FCC regulations. But what happened was a fan from a few rows back yelled something at the umpire. So the umpire ejected Aaron Boone, the manager. I mean, that's hilarious. You really don't see that all the time. That's not something that happens often. But we saw a manager get ejected because of something that happened behind him. He had nothing to do with it. He didn't say anything. I find that to be so comical. That a fan in the stands can influence an umpire enough to eject a manager. Say, go. I don't want you here anymore. You're gone. Oh, man. It really is wonderful. It's great. I just don't understand what these umpires think they're doing, honestly. It's not the umpire show. So Aaron Boone got ejected. It was pretty funny. 5 minutes into the game, barely started, and Aaron Boone gets ejected because the fan yelled at him. Oh, boy, that might be one of the funniest ejections of all time. Let me know. If you know something better, 844-788-3464. That's 844-788-3464. The NASCAR Cup Series was in Talladega over the weekend. It was right here on WFCC. If you were listening, here is the one-minute race recap brought to you by MRN.
As the field makes their way up off of turn number four, we're set to get this one underway. The Geico 500 green flag goes in the air.
Denny Hamlin, who may have just collected a car on entrance into pit road. It is indeed Denny Hamlin. And Austin Cindric has won stage number one.
At the front of the field, stage two will be complete, and Joey Logano will win the stage.
Rebel off the end of the back straightaway. Christopher Bale into the outside wall. Also collected Justin Haley.
Trouble coming off of turn number three. It's that Toyota Brigade got together. Denny Hamlin hard into the wall.
Here comes Brad to the bottom. Michael McDowell throws the block and Brad gets into him. Michael McDowell into the fence. They're crashing further back. Checkered flag is in the air. Tyler Reddick gets there first. And we are getting the official word. It is indeed Tyler Reddick. He has won the Geico 500 after a vicious crash coming through the tri-oval. Tyler Reddick is the winner.
That is the one-minute race recap brought to you by MRN. Man, they do a good job of making the race sound exciting because, honestly, and you know what? Full disclosure, this might not be the popular opinion. That was a terrible race. Terrible race. Okay, just because everybody crashes at the end does not make it a good race. It makes it a good finish, which I can't argue with that. Yeah, it was a great finish. Good job. The one lap of racing that they needed to be good was good. And let's get all the compliments out of the way first, because there's very few of them. Very good job by NASCAR. Double thumbs up from me. Double thumbs up for not throwing the caution flag and letting them race back to the line. Yes, it was over by time they escaped the wreck, but still, it's good to see that NASCAR is at least waiting just a split second longer to throw that caution flag, because number one, throwing the caution flag there wouldn't have helped the safety crew get out to the drivers in the crash any faster. They were still in the middle of crashing. We don't know what was going to happen. Number two, we got to see an actual finish. They made it to the line. It wasn't determined by video replay of who was leading when the caution came out. So double thumbs up for that. And that's about it. That's about all I have to say that's good about this race, man. And you know, I'm seeing the discourse behind this race. Oh, how could you have not liked it? They were 3x3 the entire time in the second stage. The first stage was a photo finish. I mean, what more could you want? Well, here's the problem that I have. Yes, the first stage was a photo finish. The problem was there were only two lanes. And once those two lanes got side by side, there was nothing you could do. Second, yes, there was a lot of three-wide racing, and I love three-wide racing just as much as the next person. Don't get me wrong. But I don't love three-wide racing when they're doing it at half throttle, saving gas, not racing, just riding. That wasn't three-wide racing. That was three-wide pacing. Big difference. It wasn't entertaining, and you can see it. I mean, when they put up the graphic of how fast they're going, and you see they're coming out of turn four at 170 miles an hour, you're like, what? Is the whole field down a cylinder? Why aren't we racing? Well, the reason we aren't racing is because NASCAR threw these things called stages into the equation. And I don't know, it's just a little bit of math. The less gas that you have to put into the car when you pit before the end of the stage, the shorter amount of time you're going to be in the pits for. So the drivers save, and it's a never-ending quest to save as much fuel as possible so you can get out of the pits first, and then nobody can pass you because you get double-filed up, and when they're double-file going as hard as they can, there is no third line. This is the problem we had last year. It happened again. It didn't happen at Daytona for some reason. I'm not sure why. But Talladega seems to have this problem every single year. Call me up and let me know if you disagree. I know there's going to be a lot of opinions about this Talladega race. 844-788-3464.
More of Sports Director Joe Berg's The Scoreboard is coming up on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Now more of The Scoreboard with Joe Berg on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
All right, guys, final segment here on The Scoreboard. We're talking NASCAR. 844 Studio 4. 844-788-3464. I have some things to say about this race because in my eyes, it was bad, and it's bad for NASCAR. And it has to do with, I wonder what. You guessed it, the car. The car stinks, and we've known this for a while now. The drivers hate it. The fans hate it. NASCAR teams hate it. The only people that seem to like this car are the people who designed it. And honestly, I don't think they like it. I think they just have to come out and publicly say that it's a good car and we're going to just make some tweaks here and there to make the racing a little better, when in reality, they need to go back to the drawing board, because that was one of the worst Talladega races I've seen in a long time. Now, it's not as bad as the ones where they run single file for 150 laps. Those are worse. They are. They're significantly worse. So, okay, we got the side-by-side racing. Wonderful. But we didn't get anybody working their way from the front to the back. We didn't get any jockeying for position up front. It was, if you can get up front, you're going to stay up front. And if not, well, good luck making the third line work, unless the entire field is saving. Because if the entire field is saving, then you can work your way through the field. If not, you can't. And we saw it in the final 15 laps of the race. There were drivers in the back of the pack who were trying to get a third line to work. And for a little bit of time, it started to work. And more guys were jumping up, and the top got a little more momentum. And then I forget who it was, but I think it was Ty Gibbs who, it was Ty Gibbs who jumped up to the top line and absolutely destroyed the momentum of the top, and you never saw it again. And it went back to two lanes. That's not good super speedway racing, in my opinion. If we're going to have pack racing, if we're going to have draft tracks where it's going to be a pack race, make it better, because it was terrible. And I don't know how to fix it. I'm not an expert. All I know is it was a bad race. You know, one thing that you could probably do to start is get rid of the stages, or make the stages shorter. Now, I know this isn't going to be a popular opinion to NASCAR, because they like having stage one and two be about the first half of the race and stage three be about the second half of the race, or approximately that much, right? Well, I don't think that's the way you should do it at Talladega. I think stages one and two should be about 40 laps. Maybe there's going to be a little fuel saving, but for the most part, it's short enough to where you're not going to have to pit for gas or tires, and it's long enough to where you're going to be able to work your way through the field. That is when people will actually be able to find out how to work in the draft. They don't practice anymore. when you're drafting at one-third throttle, you're not learning how your car is going to react in the draft. You're not learning how to make a run on the top. But if you make the stages just short enough to where you can work that out and figure it out, and fuel doesn't have to be a factor, maybe we'll get some racing. And then, okay, stage three is going to be a lot longer than normal. Whatever. So what? Let it be 108 laps or whatever it would be with my math. Just do it, because you doing nothing isn't going to fix it. It was a terrible race. Maybe you thought it was because it was a lot of three-wide racing, but it was boring three-wide racing. It wasn't racing. It was pacing. It was trying to set the pace to say, okay, we need to run this fast. That way we save enough fuel to make it to the end of the stage. It's terrible. And it's not fun. And it's not exciting. That's for sure. The good news is we don't have to go back to a draft track for a while. So anyway, I didn't even let you know who won the race. Winner of the race, Tyler Reddick, followed by Brad Keselowski. Noah Gregson getting a top five in that 10 car. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Alex Bowman, Anthony Alfredo, William Byron, Todd Gilliland, Daniel Hemric, and Harrison Burton. That is your top 10. Everybody else behind them, I'm pretty sure, was wrecking when they came to the line. I'll tell you what. I feel bad for Brad Keselowski. He had a chance to win it, and he didn't. I feel bad for Michael McDowell, who started the race on the pole, was leading that final stint under green where nobody was able to pass him because all you have to do is work the lines and you won't get passed. But I also feel bad for Ford. Man, that they had a chance to win there. It was 1-2-3 lined up on the bottom, and 1 and 2 wrecked each other and gave the win to Toyota. Whoops. So at least we don't have to go to a draft track for a while again. Next weekend, Dover. Dover's a good track. Maybe not a good track with the car that we have, but nonetheless, it is a pretty good track. And we got the Xfinity Series there and the ARCA Menards Series. I didn't touch on ARCA yet. What a horrible race that ARCA race was. One caution, and there weren't any big crashes or anything like that, but only 6 cars finished the race in the lead pack, and nobody passed anybody. And the guy who won led the race from start to finish. It was exponentially worse than the Cup race. Talladega is supposed to be exciting, and I'll tell you what, whatever NASCAR has been doing to these race cars, it's making the racing a lot worse. A lot worse. Xfinity wasn't great either. Look, the ARCA race was so bad that I fell asleep halfway through the Xfinity race, okay? Full disclosure on that one. Let's talk about one more thing that we have to look forward to here, and that is the NHL. Your Carolina Hurricanes win game number 1 on Saturday against the New York Islanders. Game number 2 will be tonight at 7:30. Carolina leads the series 1-0, and they won that game pretty handedly on Saturday, not giving up many opportunities to the Islanders. Well, not many high-quality opportunities. It was interesting because the Islanders outshot the Hurricanes, but it still felt like the Hurricanes controlled the game, winning that one 3-1. A look around the rest of the NHL in case you're curious what's going on. Right now, the Florida Panthers are 1 game up against Tampa Bay. Boston, 1 game up against Toronto. The New York Rangers, 1 game up against Washington. Carolina, 1 game up against the Islanders. The Western Conference has only had 2 games played so far. Winnipeg beat Colorado in a shootout last night. That was some game. There were 6 goals scored in the first period of that game. And then Vancouver beat Nashville in the late night game. I'm going to be honest with you again. I tried watching as much sports as I can, but in the middle of that game, I had to go to sleep. I couldn't do it anymore. I know. Disappointment. Dallas, Vegas, Edmonton Kings, they have yet to play their first game. But game number one for Vegas and the Stars tonight at 9:30. LA Kings, Edmonton Oilers tonight at 10. There's also some NBA action tonight as we have three games going on in the playoffs. Game number one is at 7 o'clock. That'd be Orlando taking on Cleveland. Philadelphia, New York at 7:30. And then the late night game tonight, the LA Lakers taking on the Denver Nuggets. Now, the storyline in the NBA, all home teams won game number one. They went 8-0 in game one, meaning none of the play-in teams won. But also, where's the parity? Where? That's the problem with the NBA. There's too much of a separation between the top and bottom of the league. So let's see what's gone on in this day in sports history. Ah, here we go. 1914, Babe Ruth's first professional game as a pitcher was a six-hit win. So good job on that, I guess. He gave up six hits, but his team was able to back him up with some runs, and they won 6-0. Let's see, what else? Michael Moore beats Evander Holyfield in 12 rounds for the heavyweight boxing title. That was in 1994. And Frank Thomas was the first White Sox player to hit a home run at the new Comiskey Park in 1991. Frank Thomas. That is what we have for you on this day in sports history. Happy Monday to everyone. Hopefully you tune in to what's going on in the world of sports tonight. We have NHL, NBA. I told you the NFL draft was coming up on Thursday. We'll talk about that a little bit more later in the week. See what we might expect the Panthers to do as we, well, as we come closer to the second round. Because they're not participating in round number one. And it's a travesty. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to The Scoreboard here on WSIC. I'm your host, Joe Berg. I'll talk to you guys same time tomorrow. Until then, have a good night, everyone.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Morrisville, North Charlotte.